You know, it's kind of fun, wasn't it? Crazy a little bit, but fun, cute, having the kids kind of take control of things and then show us, you know, how you could do a service. Fun for a little while anyway. I don't know, we might get a little crazy if we did that the whole service, and that was all we did. And maybe not, you know, it's fun to let them kind of do some things like that, but maybe not the wisest thing to have them control everything, guide everything in it. Maybe not the wisest thing to have them control everything in our lives, in our families, either. But that was fun. Good to have you here today. Good to have those of you joining us at our Vandalia campus. You know, there are just so many competing demands on our lives and on our schedules. I mean, we've got, you know, you've got your job, we've got our schooling, family, you know, working out, doing the grocery shopping, doing the laundry, you know, all paying the bills, you know, all these different things that are going on. In the midst of all these different things that are piled in and are pulling at us and pulling at our time, what about God? What about our spiritual lives? And if we're parents, what about the spiritual lives of our kids? I mean, where does God fit in to all of the activities that our kids are involved in, to all the scheduling, all the different things that we have going in our lives? Where does God fit into all of that? You know, Years back now, when my oldest son was getting old enough to play sports and he started excelling a little bit in some of those sports, I began to have some thoughts that I think a lot of parents have at some point or another if their kids are decent at a sport. I began to wonder internally, you know, I wonder if maybe he could play like college sports, maybe get a scholarship or something. I wonder if maybe he might even be able to go pro in one of these sports. And you know, shortly after having that thought, it dawned on me, you know, every parent whose kid is decent at some sport, that's what they're thinking. Man, maybe my kid could be his next superstar. Maybe they could play college ball. Maybe they would become the next pro. It's like, you know, that's not very likely to happen. But I began to pay attention to this whole kid athlete thing that was going on. And one of the things that I began to notice over the coming years was a good number of those kids, some of them really good at sports, began to burn out. At an early age, just the pressure, the stress, the schedule. My thought was that, you know, it just seemed at times like maybe this was more parent-driven than it really was driven by the kids themselves. Maybe it was parents trying to live out their own unfulfilled dreams that they had in sports and some other arena through their kids. Not probably the best thing, but it happens. But I saw kids burning out. And then in middle school, I began and then on into high school, began to see really good athletes. I mean, kids that I actually thought might go on to play in college, and maybe even go on from there. I began to see them suffer injuries. I mean, like career-ending injuries. And it dawned on me, I realized, man, this whole dream that so many kids have, it can be over, boom, just like that, man. It's just gone. And you can't do that anymore. That's history. But I also begin to realize that some of the best of the best of these athletes, guys and gals, it came to graduation time that they weren't being recruited to colleges. And even those that were, the vast majority of them, it wasn't major schools. They weren't like D1 schools. It was really a platform to go anywhere in the future. And I just realized, you know, what I really already know, what we all already know, vast majority of kids, they're not going to go on and play college sports at a high level. They're not going to make it to the pros. And it really sunk in for me. I became convinced more than ever, and I was already there, but I became even more convinced that what we need to do as parents, what I needed to do, was prepare my kids for life. not prepare them for sports or for dance or for music, whatever it might be. But what they really needed was to be prepared for life, because what they need is an anchor. They need an anchor. They need a rock-solid foundation that's going to help carry them through the challenges, the ups and downs, the storms that life is going to throw at them. What they need is the anchor of Jesus in their life. But you see, even if our kids do make it, you know, like they become these superstars, they play college ball, they make it to the pros, or they become celebrities, they become famous, they become rock stars, whatever it is, even if they do, and can we just be honest with ourselves, parents? Just right, it's probably not going to happen, okay? It's probably not. But even if it does, in fact, even if they do, probably even more so, they need that anchor. They need that rock solid foundation. They need someone. They need Jesus to guide them through the challenges of life. They need somebody. They need something in their life that will point them towards true north, that will help them get clarity on what life is really all about, that will help them navigate the temptations that will invariably be thrown their way. They need somebody who is going to give them the guidance to make wise choices and to keep their lives on track. So the big question is, how do we lead ourselves, and how do we lead our families, and how do we lead our kids through the maze of time demands and obstacles and challenges that are constantly, you know, just bombarding us and pulling us away from God? How do we lead ourselves? How do we lead our families in that context? This last week, I sat down with a video camera rolling with three couples here from our own church family and talked to them about this very thing and try to get insight, some insight from them and what they're doing to help their kids understand that is as important as sports and dance and these other activities as they may be to them. What is way more important is God. And so we're gonna watch that in a little bit. Before we get there, I want to look at a passage of scripture that gives some just great insight on this issue that we're gonna be talking about today. And what I hope happens today is that as you walk out of here today, what I hope will happen is you walk away going, wow, God's way makes sense. But of course I want to follow God. Man, but of course I want to follow him in my life. But of course I want to follow what he says about the family. I mean, what we're going to talk about, I mean, it is just so relevant. It's going to be relevant to everybody, but it's going to be especially relevant to those of you who are parents or hoping to be parents. But even for people like myself, that our kids are grown, they're out of the house. And that's what we want, right? We want them to grow up eventually. We want them to be able to be responsible and independent, self-supporting. And we want them to love God. We want them to love God and to be able to make a positive difference in our world. But what my wife and I have realized is that even then, we're still role models for our kids. And every so often, we even have a chance to speak a little advice or give them a little wisdom here and there. But the passage of scripture I want us to look at is found in Deuteronomy. Everybody, you can look it up. Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Old Testament. It's part of the Torah, the Pentateuch. This is a compilation of these ancient writings that we now have, five ancient writings that we now have as scripture. And these are these are timeless truths. These are timeless principles that God wants to use in our life. And in this passage of scripture that we're looking at today, Moses is challenging the people of Israel to follow God, to follow his commands, his precepts in their life. And the section that we're looking at became known eventually as the Shema. And it's a section of scripture that pious Jewish people commit to memory and then recite every day to keep in front of themselves what's most important, and to keep before their families and their kids, this is what really matters. And it begins with this statement in verse 4, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. We're going to throw it up on the screen. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Lord is one. It starts with this foundational truth, this foundational fact. There is one God, not many gods, not a plethora of gods. There is one God. Now understand, the nations around them at that time, they had a plurality of gods. They just had all kinds of different gods. They had these gods that they would carve out of wood, these idols, and they would bow and worship them, or they would chisel them out of stone, or they would make them out of gold or silver. And obviously today, most of us, we don't have little artifacts that we bow to, little wood statuettes or things, you know, chiseled out of rock or those type things. But the reality is, we do have idols. We do have counterfeit gods in our life. You see, anything that we prioritize, anything that we love more than God is basically an idol. It's a counterfeit god in our lives. For some of us, it's our job, it's our career, money, success, possessions. For some of us, pleasure, having fun, recreational activities, maybe golf, hunting, fishing, and maybe fashion. For some of us, our God is ourselves. I mean, what we're all about is it's just all about me. For some, it's sex. It may be alcohol or some other substance in our life. It may be fulfillment. It may be your family that may be an idol, that maybe have become a god, a counterfeit god in your life. Maybe your spouse, maybe that special somebody in your life. See, it's not necessarily that it's something bad in our life. It's anything, really, in our life. It becomes more important than God, that we love more, that becomes a higher priority than God is in our life. But what Scripture tells us is that anything that becomes a higher priority than God in our life is eventually going to let us down. Eventually, we're going to be disappointed by it. You see, we may not believe that. You may not believe that, but Scripture indicates that there is, it says here, there is one God, this key foundational truth. And what's inherent in that is the implication that we need to follow this God. We need to make Him the priority of our lives. But Scripture indicates that if we don't anchor our lives in this God, here's what you need to understand. There will always be something. You need to understand this for yourself. You need to understand this for your kids. There will always be something that will be out of harmony, out of balance, out of sync. And some of you have been living your life that way, and you haven't figured out what it is, but that something is that God hasn't been the priority. He hasn't been what is most important in your life. So we need to make sure that we get the right foundation. We need to make sure that we get the right anchor in place. So he begins with his statement clarifying there is one God. And then he moves on and he gives us, related to that, flowing out of that, he gives us three specific things that we need to do. Look at this next verse, verse 5. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So flowing out of the fact that there is this one God, he's saying we need to love this God with everything we've got. That's the first thing that we need to do. Love God with everything that we've got. This is a foundational theme, and you've heard this. This is just something it just keeps popping up in Scripture. You can't not talk about loving God. You can't just avoid this theme because it just keeps coming up all over the place. And clearly, as you look at this, it's not talking about loving God with just some kind of superficial, flippant love, just this, you know, little warm, fuzzy, you know, just words. We can all mouth words about loving God. But what it actually says here is we are to love God with all. Get that, but not just as words. Get that in your heart, with all our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. What it's saying is we need to love God to the very core, to the very essence of our being. It needs to love God. And when you really get that and you begin to live your life that way, it begins to change things in your life. But multiple times through Scripture, it says that if we really love God, If we really love him, then we're going to obey his commands. The evidence of the fact that we love God is not our words. The evidence of the fact that we really know love God is what we do with our lives, that we obey him, that we follow him. And basically, in fact, in this scripture, it goes on and says that very thing. The very next verse, verse 6, says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. So not only do you need to love God with everything that we've got, but we need to keep God's commands on our hearts. Number two, we need to keep his commands on our heart, not just know them intellectually, okay? But we need to internalize them. We need to obey them. We need to embed them and ingrain them on our hearts. We need to have them engraved, if you will, on our hearts. God's commands, his principles, his guidelines, his truths are to be the guide for our lives. And of course, to be able to obey his commands, we need to know what his commands are. In order to know his commands, we need to get into God's word for ourselves. We need to be reading the Bible. You need to read it for yourself. We need teaching like this. You need to plug in to a small Bible study where you can connect with others and you can talk through, well, what does it say? What are these commands, these principles? What do they mean? How can we live these out in day-to-day life? Because that's what it's getting at. We need to live these commands, these truths, these principles out. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And then it goes on in verse 7, and it says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So not only do we need to love God with all of our heart and soul and strength, with everything that we've got, not only do we need to keep God's commands on our heart, but we need to impress them. Number three, we need to impress them on our children's hearts. It says, impress them on your children. And I would say, even to you who are grandparents or aunts or uncles, God can use you in this area as well. And one of the things that I love hearing like grandparents telling about having their grandkids over and see them at times bringing them to church with them. Maybe because the parents are kind of dropping the ball in this area of the life. Maybe parents are just out of town or something for a weekend. But I love to see that. Grandparents bring their grandkids. I love to hear them talk about some of the conversations about God that they have with their grandkids while they're driving in the car, or they have them over to spend the night. And God can use you in a powerful way. He really can. But what's it mean when it makes that statement? Impress them on your children. It's saying, parents, don't just mention God in passing, like some just tack on, like it's really not that big of a deal. In fact, the Hebrew word that's actually translated impress here is the word shanan. It's the word shanan, and what that word literally means is to sharpen. To sharpen. Some translations use the phrase to teach diligently. That's what we need to do. We need to sharpen our kids with God's truths. We need to teach his truths, his principles to our kids diligently. What it's basically saying is embed God's truths on your children's hearts, on their souls, on their very being. That's what it's getting at. But how do we do that? Well, he tells us, the next part of that verse goes on and says, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. It's saying, talk about God's principles. Talk about his truths, his love, his grace. Talk about who he is as you just go through life. I mean, not just on the weekends, not just in a church context, in an environment. And don't just depend on the church to impress God's truths on your children. And we're here to compliment you as parents. You get that? We're here to compliment you, not to do it all. We can't do it all. We get them like 1 hour a week. They need so much more than that. What it's getting at here in these verses, just as you go through life, when you're sitting around at home, bring God into the conversation. Involve God. Talk about God. Talk about the spiritual component of life. When you're driving, at times at least, turn off the radio. Get them to shut their devices down and just talk. Just have some conversations with them. Find out what's going on in their life. Where are they hurting? Where are they struggling? And as they share and as the conversation moves along, look for opportunities. Maximize those chances that you have to talk to them about how God can help them deal with these different situations that they're facing in their life. Talk to them about God, how God has helped you. And as opportunities arise, at the appropriate time, share with them how they can have a personal relationship with this God who loves them and died on a cross for them. Share that with them. But to be able to share that with your kids, to be able to talk to them about a personal relationship with God, you know what that takes on your part? It takes you having a relationship with God. Pray with your kids. When you put them to bed, when you're driving, when they're going through a tough time, something that they're struggling with, just stop and pray with them. When you get up, you're having breakfast, you're getting them to school, talk about God, talk about spiritual things. What it's talking about here is just in the ebb and flow of life. Bring God into that. It's not talking about preaching at them, talking at them. You know, God is going to get you for that. Is that all they hear? And please, no. It's not just sit still while I instill. It's not even referring to formal teaching here. It's just saying as you go through life, let them see that God is real in your life. And then it goes on. In verse 8, and says, tie them. And the them is talking about God's commands and truths and principles. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What's that all about? Well, some of them were apparently took this literally, very literally, and they would actually have like these leather boxes, little pouches that actually put the scripture in, and then they would tie this around their arms as a reminder. They would tie this around their heads to remind themselves of this truth. Someone would put little wood boxes or metal boxes on the door frames of their houses as a reminder. But it's basically saying is keep God at the forefront of things in your family's life. Not on the back burner somewhere, but keep God on the front burner of things. Keeping on the front burner of your own life. Keeping on the front burner of life with your kids. If you need reminders, man, get you some reminders in life to remind yourself, man, I want Jesus to be the center. I want Jesus to be the anchor of my life. I want Jesus to be the center and the anchor of my family's life. I want to live with a but of course attitude in my life and in the life of my kids. What's it getting at? Parents, what it's saying, grandparents, uncles, anybody that wants to influence the next generation. You know what it's saying? It's saying the key is to model loving God. That's the key. Model loving God. Model that as you go through your life. Make God the priority of every area of your life. Let your kids see. Let them actually see and know that being at church, you're not just sitting, but coming, being a part of what God is doing, that is a priority in your life, that it is a priority in your schedule. Let them see you reading God's word, learning from God, praying. Let them see you praying. Let them see how God influences your decisions. Talk about how God guides you, gives you wisdom. Let them see when you blow it. and how you respond, how you apologize, and you make things right in those situations. Let them see that God is real. We can't afford to live saying one thing, but doing something else. Speed of the leader, speed of the team. Speed of the parents, the speed of the family. You will very seldom see kids go far beyond where their parents are spiritually. It happens occasionally, but not often. Lead as a parent, lead from the front. Be an example. Lead by word and example. That's how we've got to live our lives. Now, we're going to blow it at times. Okay, you're not always going to get it right. I understand that. You're not be a perfect example. I'm certainly not. I have blown it. Oh, my goodness. I have blown it so, so many times. My selfishness, my pride, my junk, my baggage, insecurities, fears, just stress of life gets to me, and I just do some of the dumbest things sometimes. A number of years ago, our family was on vacation, and we traveled all day, and we got to this hotel's resort, and as we got there, one of the representatives there wanted to give us a timeshare presentation. I'm never excited about timeshare presentations, okay? Just kind of let you know. I'm certainly not excited about them after a long day of traveling and those type things. You can give me, you know, the Jinzu knives that will cut anything. Still not interested, not excited at all about timeshare presentations. You can give me a $100 like cash deal. I've had them do that, offer that, had them do it actually. I'm not excited about timeshare presentation. Extra night stay, not excited about timeshare presentations. Well, these guys, they're trying to talk us into a timeshare presentation, getting a little bit pushy, and so I get pretty short with them. Well, shouldn't laugh. Pretty rude, actually. But I got out of it. I'm kind of patting myself on the back. And a while later, one of my kids kind of says something to this effect, "Dad, You think if you had tried to invite them to church after that interaction, do you think they would have, you know, they think that would have gone well?" Ouch. That stung. That was so true. I blew it. I had to apologize. Say, man, that's not who I want to be. We're not always going to get it right. But even when we blow it, we apologize, we own it, we get back up. We try to lead by example. Take hold on to the spiritual steering wheel in your family's life. Lead by word, lead by example. As I said earlier, earlier this week, I sat down with three couples in our church family. We talked about what they're doing. I mean, they're in the trenches of this, okay? They're wrestling with this week in and week out. And I want you to have a chance to hear some of how they're facing this issue and helping their kids understand that as important as sports, dance, whatever, as important as these things are, God is what's really most important. So check this out.
Well, there are so many competing demands on families' schedules these days with sports and music, dance, all the other activities, school activities, and all these things. So how difficult is it for you guys to keep your kids in church? Just as simple as that may seem on one level.
I know for us, it's really nice that Metro has three services for us to choose from because we can look ahead at our schedule on the weekend and see, you know, which is going to fit the best for whatever we have going on.
For us, we kind of live by our schedule, really. Rachel's the one that owns the schedule. She's the scheduling ninja at our house. But, you know, one of the things that she does, and we kind of talk every week on what's going on for the week, but when we put the master schedule together for the first time, really the kind of the first things that go on the schedule are the weekend, making sure that there's a opening for weekend service. And now that Belle is older, it's Fusion, so making sure that she can be at Fusion and then small groups. So those are kind of the first three things that go on the schedule. And any of the activities, and there are plenty of them that the girls have wanted to do that interfere regularly with any of those times, we don't do those. But there are plenty that don't. You know, there's always going to be conflict. You can't avoid all that. We have plenty of times where there's Sunday morning games or whatever, and we have to deconflict those, but nothing that regularly interferes.
So on like just a real practical level, as important as sports or dance or whatever the activity is, what do you do to try to make sure that your kids know that God in their spiritual life is ultimately the most important thing? I mean, the sports are important, those things are really good, but what's really going to help them through life is having that personal relationship with God.
Yeah, I think for us, I mean, we pray with our kids. We talk about Jesus all the time. They have devotionals. They see us doing devotionals. So it's not just one particular thing. It's us living out, you know, a life with Christ at the center. And, you know, they see us doing that, and they emulate that and do what we do.
We've tried other things to try and make sure we're keeping God the priority. And we've tried a few times starting like devotionals at dinner time, and honestly, they failed miserably. Not going over well. And
we have this great image of what it should be.
It never lives up to that, and then you get busy. And
another thing that we do with Trey, especially when he's had overnights with a bunch of friends here or whatever, they know that, you know, if it was a Saturday night gathering and all the guys spent the night, well, guess what? Everybody get up, we're going to go to church. And they're like, what? I think it was even after homecoming one year, here they all come dragging into church. We filled up a whole row, and they were like, well, we got to go to church. And Church,
like,
yep, we go to church. We've been up all night, we go to church.
So one thing I've done as a coach, I coach both my boys' soccer teams, is when we do have the out-of-town tournament where we're gone Friday night through Saturday or through Sunday, is on Sunday morning, either before or after, usually we have a Sunday game, is have a devotional. And I set it out to, you know, basically invite all the families and all the boys and kind of do it to where the boys participate and kind of lead some of it. Something I've done in the past, and, you know, going through this, it's something that I think the last year did not do. It kind of was like, need to get that going again. It's something good. And I've been shocked by the number of families that do show up.
I was going to ask, what's the response to that?
I'd say it was probably a good 3/4 of the team.
It was. And a lot of it were people who didn't go to church, or, you know, they were maybe single parent families where, you know, they're struggling to get everybody to their events, and they're in the same sports, you know, crazy team schedules that we have, but just one parent doing it all. And so I think that was probably a nice break, a way to just take a breath in that rush to that next game and just really refocus on. And I think it helps the parents behave better too.
Good benefit there.
Yes.
You guys talked about modeling for your kids that Jesus is important to you. What are some things that you guys feel like you do in order to get that across to them, to help them see and know that Jesus really is the priority in your life and he's going to be in your family?
I think I ask the kids, you know, I'll have, their kids are brutally honest, and I'll ask, you know, what do you think our priorities are? How do you think mom's doing? And actually, we had this talk just this week, you know, you can grade me just like I'm in school. How are we doing on our priorities? Because this is when our busy season starts up. This is when everybody's gone most nights of the week. And, you know, we do keep time in for small group, and we do go to Fusion, and we keep all those activities in, but it keeps us happening. And they're like, no, mom, you know, we know that it's important, because I'll miss regular season games if I'm serving at church that week, I'll be like, sorry, you know, I really would like to be there, but I, you know, I've made a commitment and I'm going to continue to serve this week. And, you know, tournaments, I try to move schedules around so we can be together. But, you know, regular season games, there's a lot of times that me and two kids are gone, and, you know, John and the other kids, they're Saturday night, and then we're there on Sunday morning and then serving, because that's our commitment. And that's just one thing that's a priority for me to show them. That's one way for me to show them that.
So one of the ways you guys handle it is kind of divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. One of you may go Saturday night, the other one on the Sunday, to make sure that at some point they're connected.
A lot of our kids, I mean, a lot of times we will send them to church in their uniforms because we have a game immediately after church, and there is no time between when church gets over and to when we need to.
We've all shown up in our fan wear.
Yep. But then even so, and I serve too at church, and so usually I'm a little bit more dressed up and not in my fan wear because I'm serving at church. And so then I go to a soccer game in churchy clothes, and when everybody else is wearing their gear, and they're like, where have you been? Oh, we went to church this morning. You went to church before the game? And it's like, oh, we did.
I think for us, we talk about the schedule, especially practice schedules and so forth, because we have small group on Wednesday night, for example, and the boys just know that when setting practice schedules, if you have that luxury of being able to set them, is that that's just an off-limits night, that we don't do that night. But I think that just seeing, more than anything, I think it's service. If they see us serving, that's when they understand. Our kids understand that, you know, that's just what you do. Mm-hmm. I think Joe said it's the rhythm of life. This is how this is how we prioritize things, and they know that that's, you know, sometimes they're tired. You know, you have a practice or you have a game or something on Saturday, and it gets to, you know, oh, it got over at 5 o'clock, and guess what? You're going to go dirty, but we're going to go at 6, or, you know. If we can't make it Saturday night, we're going to get up on Sunday morning when they're tired. But they just understand that's.
Well, it's teaching them that we love God, and then we love people, and that's you know, that's kind of the heartbeat of our house, and so they, you know, get to see that.
But I can't overemphasize enough the fact that the love people part is that we use sporting activities as a tool, and they're well aware that's what we're doing is using sporting activities as a tool to reach those that. Are in church, and they know that, and that's in their mind, and so forth. So I think that that's another way that they see.
You're not preparing your kids for high school sports, college sports. Look at it from the perspective that you're preparing your kids for the rest of their lives. You know, the vast majority of their life is going to be lived after sports.
You know, it is just so easy as parents to get caught up in the trap of thinking that our kid is going to be the next superstar. And what happens as a result of that a lot of times is we begin to feel like as parents that we need to do everything that we can to make that happen, to make that a reality, to facilitate that. And what we allow to happen is we allow our kids and our kids' activities to begin to drive and begin to dictate our schedule, and to begin to dictate our priorities, and to begin to drive and dictate everything about our lives. And next thing you know, we allow our kids to become the CEOs of our family. We allow our kids to take charge and become the CEOs of the family. Parents, please step back up and be the CEO of your family. Step back up. Be the CEO. Don't abdicate spiritual leadership in your home. Lead by word and example. Did you write that down or not? Lead by word and example. Who or what is going to be the priority of your life? Who or what's going to be the priority of your family? Who or what is going to be the priority in your kid's life? Is it going to be sports or God? Dance or God? Cheering or God? And if we don't decide in advance what that's going to be, then most likely what's going to happen is we're going to get swept up in the moment. And our kids, they may win a bunch of trophies, bunch of medals, a bunch of awards, but we may end up losing our sons and our daughters' souls. Have you ever really processed through what's most important? What's going to make the most long-lasting impact and difference in their lives? What is it? What's most important? Is it trophies? Is it medals? Is it awards? Or is it their soul? What is it? And we can say whatever we say, but a lot of times we claim that one thing is our priority, when in reality, that doesn't match up with how we're living. That doesn't match up with how we're investing our time, with how we're investing our energy. It doesn't match up with our schedule. Have you ever verbalized or written down what's really most important in your life? If you've never done it, it's a powerful, powerful exercise. Write out. I mean, if God is really, truly the priority of your life, write out what that's going to mean, what that's going to look like in your life, what it's going to look like in your family's life. Verbalize it. I mean, even if it's just you by yourself walking along on a trail somewhere, driving in the car, verbalize it. Even better, verbalize it with your spouse. Man, just verbalize. I want Jesus to be the center and the anchor of my life. I want Jesus to be the center and the anchor of our family. I don't want my kids growing up confused, thinking that maybe sports or trophies or awards or some of that kind of stuff is more important than God. I don't even want that to even remotely be a question or a thought in their mind. I want that to be crystal clear. It's not about that. Make it clear, verbalize it. You write it out. As you verbalize it, it solidifies it in you. It gives you some resolve. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Is how you're living, what you claim, is that really matching up with how you're living your life? You see, what we need more than anything else, what our kids, what our family needs more than anything else, is more than trophies, more than medals, more than ribbons, more than awards, more than college scholarships, more than being some celebrity, some famous actor, some superstar athlete. What they need even more is an anchor. What they need is a savior. What we need is a savior. What we need is a foundation that will bring peace and joy and love and fulfillment and eternal life. And that will provide us with the inner strength and will provide our kids with the inner strength to face the challenges of life that are going to come their way. What we need is an anchor. And that anchor is Jesus. The foundation that our kids need. More than they need. More of this. They need Jesus in their life. I want to wrap up with a final verse from this past scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just a few verses later, Moses kind of throws out this warning to the children of Israel as they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. And then we're going to pray. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Don't forget the Lord. Don't, whatever you do, don't leave God out of the picture. Don't forget the Lord. Don't let your kids forget the Lord. Don't let your grandkids forget the Lord. Whatever you do, don't forget the Lord. Lead. Lead. You can do it. Lead by word and example. Let's pray. Would you pray in your heart? Would you say, God, I want you to be the priority of my life, of my kids' life, my family's life. God, that's the desire of my heart. God, I want to lead by word and by example. God, I don't want my culture, the culture that we live in, to dictate and drive our families, my family's priorities. Would you express that to God? I don't want these outside forces dictating how we do our family. God, I don't want my kids thinking that trophies, that awards, that scholarships are more important than a relationship with you. God, I want it to be crystal clear. What my life is about is having you as the foundation and the anchor of my life. And I want it to be clear, my family, that you are the anchor, that you're the foundation. If you're here and you never made Jesus the foundation of your life, right where you are, why don't you say that? I want you to be my Savior. I'm putting my faith, my trust in Jesus. I want to be a spiritual example to my kids, my grandkids. Lord, my prayer is that you would give parents, that you would give sons, that you would give daughters, grandparents, that you would give the wisdom and the courage to make the choices and decisions. Some of them may be hard choices and decisions, but they would make the choices and decisions to make you the true priority, what's really most important in their lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.